You want to talk about it?
I'd rather laugh about it.
Let's get a little dark about it.
On the Traumedy Show.
Welcome to the Traumedy Show. I am your co-host, Rachel Wilford.
And I am your other co-host, Megan Wilford.
And we are really excited to be recording, actually slash re-recording, our first episode because, funny story, a few days ago we tried to film this episode and we actually did for 2 hours.
For a long time.
And then at the very end of it, you want to...
Oh, yeah. So Rachel just pours her guts out. We've been recording for hours. We do the intro.
You're crying. I'm crying.
It was very authentic. It was very real.
and then
we look at the video footage and you and I have this just like humbling moment. We now call double chin gate. Because we put the when we were recording it, we put the cameras in the worst possible angle.
Yeah.
Like straight directly from the side, kind of lower.
Yeah.
And it was like the best angle you could ever get if you want the worst angle of your double chin.
Yeah, 100%. No, it could win awards for the worst angle of all time.
We immediately started looking up chin liposuction.
No, we're like actually not kidding. You should see Megan's history, her Google history.
Yeah.
So,
needless to say, like, we can't launch the podcast.
No, we wanted to launch with our best chin forward. So, we couldn't launch with that. So, we are officially here redoing this.
We are relaunching.
And that's just how dedicated we are to our own vanity. Not to our fans, to ourselves.
Listen, we're doing this for ourselves.
And I think it's very fitting to actually just start the show off with some double chin trauma and some double chin comedy.
Exactly.
Because that's just the whole vibe of the pod in general. Not double chins, but...
This is a podcast of them. We all have them.
And the stigma.
There's sometimes the angles are worse than others.
Yeah, it's a fact of life.
But that doesn't mean that I need to post a 2-hour video of my double chin.
No, no. No. This interview in and of itself, though, I feel like could win awards. Like Oprah might want to interview us about this segment right here.
Absolutely.
Should we have a segment? A double chin segment?
What do we talk?
I don't know. Just we end the stigma and we just we talk about I cool sculpting. We talk about chin lipo. We whip out our double chins.
We want to talk about weird stuff that happens to our bodies in general as women and like, I don't know, whatever ailment we're having at the time. So
it wasn't necessarily what we wanted to lead with, but we are that chaotic. So it makes sense that it's ending up that this is what we're leading with. Wow.
Well, now that we have that.
Are you surprised that I didn't get married?
Our listeners are like, oh.
Ew, it's making sense now.
She's getting a divorce and that one never so got married.
Okay. Welcome to our show. Oh, yeah.
We basically thought we were hilarious enough to start our own podcast.
Basically, let us know if you agree.
If you don't tell me.
No. Only just tell us if you agree. Don't tell us if you disagree. We don't want any dissenting opinions on this podcast. Please keep them to yourself. Oh my God. We're really starting off strong here. Uh-huh. So now we're going to talk about my 10 years of trauma. Mm-hmm. No, the reason that we're here is, I mean, if you listen to our intro, it's just a 1 minute. Mm-hmm. Please, do that. But
first,
basically, Megan and I blew up our lives at the exact same time, not intentionally, completely unintentionally. Mm-hmm. But we're going to talk today about why I blew up mine. Mm-hmm. And kind of deep dive into my 10-year relationship, kind of go into more of like the history and the backstory of it, and then get into the nitty-gritty, some of the really juicy, juicy, juicy details that...
Stuff you've been hinting at
some of the
on your Instagram stories.
Yeah, just a little fun hints here and there.
I think it's good for you to share, though, why... It's important for you to talk about this
publicly.
Publicly.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. There are a few reasons why I feel that it is important for me to talk about this. One is for myself. I didn't talk about any of this stuff for 10 years. I kept it all inside out of shame and protection for him. And ultimately, that's kind of what kept me in it and kept him unaccountable and kept me stuck and kept me in this shame spiral. And that I don't do anymore. Reason number two is that when this all went down and I did finally leave him and I did finally start sharing little bits and pieces here and there, there's been so much good already that's come of it, just in like my little bubble of people that I know, like even literally today, my sister's friend reached out to me and I was able to be a resource to her when she just left her boyfriend who she found out was cheating on her in a similar way that I did. And it fully brought me to tears because my whole thing is like, I just really want to turn this 10 years of crap into something good. And if I can help other people get out of their situations or not get into situations like that, or just to feel empowered to stand up for themselves and leave or
not be
trust
afraid
their
to
gut
start over.
No, be afraid to start over. Like if I can do that even just with one person from this podcast, like it'll all be worth it. And yeah, so that's a big reason. I mean, gosh, there's so many reasons, but I mean, the very last thing that I ever said to him was that I promised that I would tell this story.
You keep your promises.
I keep my promises. Yeah.
Unlike some people.
The day that I left him, I immediately had this feeling of, I'm going to do something with this. I don't know what yet. I don't know how. I don't know when, but I'm going to do something. And a couple months later, in the very last email that I said, you know, this is the last thing I'm ever going to write to you or for you, but this is not the last thing I'm ever going to write about you. And I'm going to tell my story and what you did to me. And I made him that promise, and I promised him that I was going to turn the rotten lemons that he force-fed me into lemonade money. And I keep my promises, unlike him, like you said. And just like, I just want to make it so clear, I am not the victim. I am a victim in terms of the things that he did to me and that I suffered from and suffer from. I am a victim in that sense, but I am not the victim anymore. I'm not stuck in that mentality. I am the victor. And you know what they say? To the victor go the spoils. And I'm about to spoil you all with this really juicy story.
Ooh.
So without further ado, my
get
trauma.
Get into it. Let's unpack some trauma.
So this first episode or two, because we might, well, it'll probably be two parts or maybe even three.
Yeah. There's a lot to go through.
There is a lot. And it's important to just kind of understand like the depth and the breadth of all of this. But these first couple episodes are going to be a little bit different because we're just going to be deep diving this relationship. And then like the format after that is going to be a little bit
More structured.
More structured. We'll have guests and things like that and fun segments. And
yes,
there will be more riffing and randomness.
But we just need to get the story straight first.
Yeah, we need a level set.
Yeah.
We need to like just kind of get everybody on the same page about why we're here and why it's important.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Setting the scene.
We had to start with double chin.
We had game. To.
That was our most authentic.
Yeah. That was actually really funny. We were riffing. That was good. That was stand-up comedy right there.
We're hilarious.
No, it's double chin lore. Okay. All right. Setting the scene. Christmas Day, 2012. I am a senior in high school, 17 years old, coming off the heels 8 months prior of a whole other relationship that we will get into at some point that I think started my very my pattern of dating toxic men.
What are the tastes?
Yeah, I really, really know how to pick them.
You really do.
I'm so good at it. So I get a friend request on Facebook from my ex on Christmas Day, who I'm going to be referring to as the wolf because he really is a wolf in sheep's clothing. He positions himself kind of as this saint in the community. And something that I wrote when I, after a few weeks after I left him, is that, you know, of all these things that I learned, I said that he's a wolf in sheep's clothing, or I learned that wolves wear sheep's clothing and they hide in plain sight in your bed and not under it. And it's also fitting because 1 year for Halloween, he dressed as the Big Bad Wolf and I dressed as Little Red Riding Hood. So we are calling him the wolf. Mm-hmm. So he friends me on Facebook on Christmas Day, 2012, and I accept it. We have a lot of mutual friends. He lives in my same hometown. We'd never met before, but he's 3 years older than me. And a couple, like a week later, he starts messaging me. But at the time, I was very wary of weird men on the internet because I'd been getting a lot of weird messages from men around that time for some reason. I don't know what was in the air.
2012 was like a weird Facebook time.
It really was.
Yeah.
Especially for me. I got this message from some older guy and he started, you know, chatting me up. And then I found out that he was like dating somebody that I knew. So that was shady. And then there was another guy that was older. He was like 24. He friended me. I had no idea who he was. I accepted, but he kept wanting to take me on a hike in the woods. And I was like, I ain't trying to get murdered today.
No.
So that was that one. And then there was this other guy that went to like a neighboring high school. And he would always message me about masks. He would ask me if I liked wearing gas masks or did I have any masks? Do I have experience wearing masks? Do I like wearing masks? Like, what in the hell? What in the hell?
Where this person is now?
No idea. And I don't remember his name either. Like, I
really want to go look if they have like a mask account.
Dude, I think a number of years ago, I was telling this story to somebody. I don't know who it was. And I went to go find those messages.
Yeah.
And they're not in there anymore because he deleted his Facebook account.
Oh, wow.
And I have no idea what his name was. I mean, this was 11 years ago. So I don't even remember what his name was. I never met the person in person. I just really attract some interesting,
some really
characters.
High quality people.
Yeah,
so they're all making the wolf look so cool and normal.
Yeah, super cool and normal. So this guy friends me, and I'm like, oh, we have like 60 mutual friends or something. He messages me pretty quickly, about a week later, and right off the bat, kind of is like, text me. Here's my number. And I said, oh, I wish I could, but I'm Amish. As a way to kind of see what he would say. And that's just me.
Yeah.
I'm just weird like
that.
You
just always keep people on their toes.
I just like to keep it spicy with Amish lore to this day. No. But he responded something about like wearing bonnets or long skirts or something. And so I, you know, took that as a good sign that he could banter and had the mental stimulation kind of aspect that is like crack to me. So I went for it and we started talking. And I remember that night I called my best friend from high school and we were talking and I told her that like he scared me, but I took that as like a good thing at the time, like nervous kind of butterflies, which I think a lot of people do. We confuse that kind of chemistry or like we confuse like your body telling you, hey, run, this person's like bad news, for chemistry.
This is exciting.
Yeah. Like, oh, this is the butterflies. This is what it's supposed to feel like. This is the beginning of
no,
love.
Your body is like, no. Yeah.
No, your nervous system is like alarm bells.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It's not what you're supposed to do. So we started talking and we talked for a couple weeks and he was going to school. He's going to college in Utah at the time because he was 3 years older than me. But a couple weeks into us talking, he drove back home to meet me. And we had our first date, and our first date was even really weird. Like, he lied to my parents about how he even met me. He came in to meet them begrudgingly. So, like, first of all, he didn't even like want to do it himself. I had to ask him to. Red flag. And then he was like, yeah, we met at a party over Thanksgiving. And my parents kind of laughed awkwardly because, like, they had already known from me that
we knew each other
from Facebook.
Yeah.
And so I was like, no, we didn't. And he kind of just, like, very stoically kept going with that narrative. And it was really awkward. And then I got in the car and I kept kind of trying to prod it out of him, like, you know, we didn't meet at a party over Thanksgiving, right? And he kind of kept going with the story to the point where I was getting kind of scared because I was like, does this person even know who I am?
Oh,
like, what is happening? I was getting,
He was, like, committed to the lie, little tiny lie.
Oh, like, he was committed to the lie from the very beginning. That's a really good way to put it.
Such a pattern. Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. This is the pattern.
Yeah. So he scares you.
He scares me. I almost jumped. I had this feeling like I wanted to jump out of the car.
Oh, your body was like.
I told him so, too.
Like, not feeling it.
No.
Yeah.
Listen
to yourself. Your gut was right from the very beginning.
From the start. Yeah. When you're that young, like, you don't even know, I guess, what that feels like, what that looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I.
Unfortunately, did not jump out of the car.
Did not jump out of the car. No, I did not, unfortunately. We had our first date. It was good. Afterwards, I remember thinking, like, that he was way more into me than I was into him, but I was going to be going to college in the fall, and so this would be, like, a fun thing for now kind of a thing, and he told me he loved me very quickly, and I became his girlfriend, basically, kind of half-ass, in a half-ass way, after a week or so of him being home. So now we were in a relationship, and he was very, like, argumentative from the beginning. There's conflict because he wanted me to come visit him in Utah and he didn't understand why I couldn't do that. And I'm like, I'm 17.
Literally a minor.
Literally a minor. And you're 20 years old. My parents would never let me do that. Sorry.
Mm-mm.
He didn't get it. He was kind of pushy like that. And then he came home. My birthday's in May. He was home for the summer by then. And I had this bonfire for my birthday. Actually, even before that, he tried to text me and his ex. He texted me and his ex in a group chat.
Oh. Yeah.
So his ex, right before me, he sends me this picture randomly of him snowboarding, and it's in a group chat with a number I don't have saved in my phone. This was probably in, like, February or March. So we'd only been dating for a couple months. And I respond and go, who's this? And the number goes, what her name is? Natasha. And she's like, Natasha, who's this? And I'm like, are you kidding me? And so this is, like, his first technological, like, mess up.
Are these, like, the first signs, multiple, too, of him, like, having infidelities?
Yes,
like,
yes.
He just put you in a group chat with his ex.
Yeah.
Like, clearly he's also texting her.
Like, dumb.
Yeah.
Dumb. And his response was like, oh, she had texted me asking, you know, how I'm doing and was trying to catch up. And so I was busy and just sent this. I thought I didn't know how group chats work.
A picture of how lately.
So bad. I believed it and just allowed it and whatever at the time. And then he comes home for the summer. My birthday's in May. We do this bonfire for my birthday with all my friends. He drops me and my friends off at my parents' house, and the next morning's my actual birthday, and it happens to be Mother's Day too, and I'm celebrating, and all of a sudden I get a text from Natasha, since she now has my number, since he put me in that group chat, and she proceeds to tell me that the night before, after he dropped me off, apparently he drove down to San Diego to pick her up from the airport and drop her off at her hotel, and they made out. So he totally cheated on me on my birthday.
Your 18th birthday.
My 18th birthday. Yes.
Yeah.
Totally ruined it. It was devastating. He came to pick me up in his car. I'm just beside myself. It was very dramatic. We drove around talking about it. I think she had said, too, that he'd been, like, sending her pictures and stuff at the time. We go to the park where we were supposed to get married the second time around, actually, ironically. And he goes in the bathroom. He says he needs to go to the bathroom. And then all of a sudden when he comes out, he's, like, allowing me to finally look at his phone when he was refusing the first time. So he clearly went in there and was, like, deleting things. I break up with him, and we're broken up for about a week. And in a moment of weakness, I take him back, essentially. Mm-hmm. And oh, if I just hadn't done that, how different my life would be, but that's okay.
Yeah.
So we continue dating through the summer. And then I go off to college. I go to Flagstaff, Northern Arizona for my freshman year of college. I was really looking forward to going and kind of getting a fresh start, making new friends. I was not planning on having a boyfriend. It just happened that way. And he went back to Utah for school. And pretty early on into that year, something happened and he and I trauma bonded over it. And I'm not going to go into it in this first episode right off the bat, maybe later, but... Yeah, just
only
basically
so much trauma for.
Yeah, you know, so much trauma, so little time.
Too much to unpack.
So, yeah, I mean, the important thing to know is that this like deeply impacted me. I was
at a really crucial time.
Yeah,
you're 18. You're away 18. From your family for the very first time ever. He's mm-hmm. your boyfriend of not that long. Also, mm-hmm. he cheated on you recently, so you have this like mm-hmm. intense connection.
Weird dynamic already.
Yeah,
yeah,
makes sense.
I was really depressed my whole freshman year of college. I didn't really open up to anybody about what had happened. And eventually I made the decision that I was going to move home and transfer and go to junior college. And when I decided that, he decided he was going to move home too. Mm-hmm. So we both moved home together. And then so I was home for the summer figuring out going to junior college. I got a job at Starbucks. I got an internship writing for this place and I was going to school. And it didn't take long for things to start getting a little bit like suspicious in terms of his virtual infidelities again. Mm-hmm. So one day I go on Facebook and it was back when Facebook would show you kind of like random user behavior on your timeline. So like he liked this profile picture of somebody that I was really close friends with in middle school and some of high school. And I knew that they didn't know each other. And it showed that they like had just become Facebook friends too. And then I went and saw that he had like friended her on Instagram as well. And I was like, this is strange behavior. And I confronted him about it. He had whatever story that he had. And then pretty shortly after that, her boyfriend then friended me on Instagram. I told him about it and I was like, this is weird. And he logged into my Instagram and deleted it and was like, we don't need to deal with that and whatever. And yeah. And then I ran into her on campus. She went to the community college that I started going to, and she was super weird when I ran into her.
Did you give your password to the wolf? And he,
I think, yeah, he had my password. I must have had his too. Okay. We must have had each other's passwords.
Yeah. Still super controlling and mm-hmm. yeah,
fishy behavior.
Yes.
I'm like, why did you just do that immediately after I told you that? That's weird. So around that time, I don't remember if there's something else that triggered me to do this or if it was just my gut from all these things adding up, but he was working at a restaurant at the time. I went to his house while he was at work late one night, told his mom that I forgot something in his room, went upstairs, went on his computer and logged into his Facebook, and he had been DMing this girl that mm-hmm. I was friends with. I wasn't like close friends with her at the time, but we had been in the past. And I called him out on it.
The DM.
It was
flirty.
Devastating. Yeah. It was it was flirty. It wasn't anything like super salacious per se. And it was, you know, she said something about like cuddling her dog and he was like, oh, your dog's so lucky or whatever. Like he just shouldn't have obviously been doing that.
He also was just lying about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was totally lying about it. I mean, he was talking to another girl. Mm-hmm. He was and lying about it. And he was searching her out online and friending her and all these things. Mm-hmm. So I confront him and he comes home from work. I'm devastated, call his mom upstairs and show her. And we talk about it in the car and in his car. And he's crying and he swears to me up and down that, you know, it's nothing other than that. And I remember I drove around that night by myself in my car till super late, just like crying and feeling so trapped and like I couldn't leave him. Like knowing that I should, mm-hmm. but that I, and that I wanted to tell somebody, but I couldn't.
Because if you told someone, they would probably tell you mm-hmm. to leave him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I didn't feel like I could do that at that time because of the way that we trauma bonded. I felt damaged and I felt like this was my person and the only person that understood. And
were you pretty certain at that point too? Like, I'm going to marry this person?
Oh, yeah. Like, he definitely was.
You're like, what, 20 at this point? 19?
I was 19.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I was thinking like, yeah, this is it.
When you're 19 and you're in a serious relationship for a few years, it's easy to be like, oh, well, this is my person.
You feel like you know everything.
You feel like you're so smart. You know everything. Mm-hmm. Like, I did the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people do.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. When you're, you just really don't know anything. I mean, it's not that you don't know anything, but you'd like, it's just probably not your person, especially if they're cheating on you like
multiple times.
It's not your person. Run.
Yeah.
But we have a lot of compassion for 19-year-old Rachel. It's okay. Yeah, I was really depressed. I was devastated. I went to work the next day. I think I opened the coffee bar. I had to be there at like 4:30 or 5 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And then when my shout out Nate, he showed up at like 7 or 8 to his shift when it was just about to get busy, and I told him I wasn't feeling well and I clocked out and left, got some NyQuil and literally just went home and slept all day, and poor Nate held down the fort while it was hell. Yeah. And then I didn't tell anybody ever about that. Literally nobody except his mom. And then about 6 months later, again, like, it was tumultuous throughout the whole time because I couldn't trust him. But 6 months later, just about, we ran into them in the parking lot of my work, her and the boyfriend, mm-hmm. and me and my ex. And the next day, he's texting while we're at lunch and being kind of weird. And then all of a sudden, I get a text from her. And she's like, hey, he's texting me. He has sent me a picture before. He is asking me to go to the beach and hang out and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, it wasn't just what I saw on Facebook.
Yeah.
You're a liar.
Yeah.
And again, I just...
The same girl. 6 months ago, mm-hmm. you find out that he's texting her still.
Yeah. She basically brings up to me, like, this is what happened. It's still a recurring issue after we ran into you guys last night, kind of a thing. She felt compelled to tell me, I guess.
Yeah.
And again, I just went into this shame spiral. I went into this, I can't leave him. Yeah. And I ended up just kind of just blamed myself. I was like, I've just been so depressed and busy with my own stuff that I haven't been like paying enough attention to him. And this is my fault.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately is kind of where I landed.
Yeah. No, that's so common. I feel like when people are in that position, though, that mm-hmm. they blame themselves
mm-hmm.
for other people's shitty behavior.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not. It's
like, if I'm
not
better,
okay,
then he'll stop doing that. And like,
yeah,
he hasn't fully cheated on me yet. So blah, 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 blah. And you just like kind of make excuses in your head.
I justified it like that, too. Of, yeah, like, OK, he didn't physically do anything with her. It was all just virtual. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But he had already like physically cheated on me with his ex, too.
Yeah. There's been plenty of signs pointing that this is a pattern at this point.
Duh. No, duh.
Yeah.
And I was so terrified that word was going to get out to, you know, people that she knew who also knew me or my parents or my friends or whatever. And people were going to find out and they were going to come to me with this information that I already knew, and they were going to judge me and tell me to leave him and whatever. Mm. Like, I just lived in constant fear of kind of like being found out. But that was the messed up part, is like, it wasn't even my secret to keep.
Yeah.
It's not my secret to keep. It's not my shame.
You're like bearing the shame for his shitty actions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't have. And I didn't need, I shouldn't have. But I did, because I'm loyal. So I then moved down to San Diego eventually. That was another problem too, was like, I was really isolated from girlfriends at that point. Like, I didn't have a lot of close girlfriends that lived in town that I was hanging out with necessarily. It pretty much was just him and I spending all our time together. And that was bad.
Because then it also makes you feel like, oh, I can't leave this person, because what would my life be without this person?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there was this level of, well, I just moved home for him too. Like, I just moved home. I left college. I moved. Yeah. He's here. I can't break up with him. Like, we're, you know, starting this life, kind of a thing. And again, mm-hmm. dumb and nothing compared to what I had to extract myself from, you know, 8 years later or whatever it was at the time.
Yeah.
So I go, eventually, like a year and a half later, I moved down to San Diego. I transferred to San Diego State. We're still together. We're doing long distance. And during my last year of college, on New Year's Day, he proposes to me the first time. And it's in Peru at Machu Picchu on my family vacation. Mm-hmm. He came from during all that time, there was no indication of infidelity that I know of or that I saw. And so I thought that, you know, we had kind of worked through those things and we were okay. And so I, at that point, start planning a wedding. And at the same time, I have an internship. I'm finishing up school, trying to graduate and get a job.
A little busy.
Just a little busy. And, you know, I just thought I'd throw a nose job into that, too. Into that whole mess. Yeah, I had a deviated sep. Yeah, like my nose had just gotten messed up from breaking it a couple times. And so was like, I'm going to get this fixed before my wedding. And I don't even think it would have been like fine for my wedding, honestly. Like it was such a long recovery. And I didn't get married. Spoiler alert. So it's like my birthday and then the next day is my graduation. And then the next day I get my surgery.
Graduation nose job. Woo!
Super typical. So I'm like, I look like I got hit by a truck.
Yeah.
I think the only picture of me in existence. Yeah. No different than any other day.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I was bedridden for like a week. And that's when he started kind of going MIA and things started getting strange. Mm-hmm. He just kind of was never around. He was unreachable all of a sudden, and I'm like literally laying there in pain, unable to do anything. And one time I call him and he's up like far away at this spot where he and I used to always go and eat like for fun with mm-hmm. a couple other girls that were coworkers.
What the heck?
And that was pretty – that was when it started being super fishy.
Yeah.
And when I finally recover and kind of like re-enter the world – all of a sudden, he's kind of calling things into question and he's like, I don't know if I want to get married. I'm really depressed. I'm not feeling super confident about this. And it kind of started this like snowball of events. And I one day go and look at his texts and see that he's been texting one of those coworkers that he took to lunch. Mm-hmm. I'm going to call her Grace. And he essentially had been having an emotional affair. Mm-hmm. I call him out for it. I'm freaking out. His mom is involved again. And this time we start couples therapy. And this is the first person I actually like tell about his other infidelities finally. And the couples therapy like ended up just kind of making it worse. It brought out just all these issues. And in the hour that we were with her, they would never get resolved. And then we would try to resolve them on our own. And it just spiraled. He told me that he like ended this emotional affair with Grace. I believed him. And then I surprised him at this event.
Work event.
Yeah. In which he was sitting next to her. And so at that point, I gave the ring back. Mm-hmm. I don't even think that was exactly when we broke up officially that time. I think it took like another week or so of just turmoil. But we did finally break up.
Was it you who eventually called it off?
Yeah. I honestly think so. Like I gave the I think so.
When you saw
it's so him hazy with Grace, though.
When it was like he made it very clear he wasn't talking to her anymore.
Yeah.
Like, well, that's a lie.
Yeah. I gave him the ring back at that point, mm-hmm. but that's not officially when I ended it. I think I officially ended it in the Target parking lot. If I'm remembering correctly.
A lot of stuff can go down in the Target parking lot.
A lot of relationships end in the Target parking lot.
Just as they begin. It's the birthplace and the death place of so many relationships. And great deals.
Target Red Card members. Tap in. This is not sponsored by Target.
But it should be.
But it should be. Target, hit us up.
Need help ending your relationship with an abusive monster?
Shop at Target. Oh my God. Dude, can you imagine if we got sponsored by Target?
Oh.
That'd be so cool.
That'd be so cool.
I love Target. I live at Target. Why digress? Yeah, I'm pretty sure I ended in the Target parking lot. Uh-huh. Gosh, which is actually really interesting because that's where, well, yeah, something else goes down in the Target parking lot 5 years later.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. That same spot.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
The Talega Target?
Gosh, yeah. Yeah, the deja vu moments just never cease to amaze me.
What I want to point out too is like during all of this time when Rachel was deciding whether or not to end it, like I was definitely talking to you a lot. We had a lot of conversations about it. But the Grace situation, I didn't know about.
Mm-mm.
It was still something, even though like I was your best friend and we would tell each other everything, that was just something that you still, because I didn't know about any of the other, the only thing I knew about was on the 18th birthday when he kissed that other girl. And that happened. That was the one thing that I knew about.
It's already really bad.
That's already really pretty bad. I mean, you could be like, okay, you're 18. Like, if there was a lot of stuff to help make up, then okay. But like, when the marriage ended or the engagement, it was not something that you shared with anyone. Mm-mm. About the whole Grace situation.
I didn't. I kept that for 5 years, and I blamed myself. I took the fall.
Yeah.
I told everybody that. And he blamed me too. He told me the reasons, you know, were that I was selfish and I wasn't, you know, loving him properly or whatever. And so I
remember you saying that. I remember being so upset by that. Being like, you are really like, I honor you for taking, but like, I could tell that you were really like basically saying this engagement is failing because of me.
Mm-hmm.
Which is so messed up.
Yeah, that was I blamed myself entirely. I was like, oh, he had this emotional affair because I, you know, wasn't good enough in the relationship. And
talk about to just like connect yourself or tie yourself to a person even more.
Mm-hmm.
As well, because mm-hmm. then you think you're like not good enough for mm-hmm. other people too.
Yeah I all I did was just work on myself for the next like year.
Mm-hmm.
I read books, I listened to podcasts, I listened to sermons, all sorts of things. But never once did I tell anybody that he cheated, that he was cheating. And that was a big reason why we didn't get married. I didn't share that with literally anybody. Not even I wasn't even going to therapy at the time.
Yeah.
I kept that in. And for about a month after we broke up, and like I'm a big journaler. I write down everything. And so I was looking back at my journal at this time. And there's these really pivotal moments in June when I leave him and I'm very empowered. And you can see like kind of, you know, the progression of how my mind is kind of changing and I know it's the right thing for me. And then at the end of July, he shows up mm-hmm. and comes knocking on the door and I allow it. And the rest of the journal, which is like 90% of it, is just anxiety, just pages and pages and pages of anxiety after I let him back in. And so for this whole next year, I basically just felt like a crazy person. Like I really just kind of sat. I moved down to Carlsbad. I got the job. I moved in with a friend at the time. Canceled my wedding, which was like, there's so much shame associated with that for me too, and embarrassment of just like, everybody, you know, knows I'm a failure. Everybody, you know, all these. Yeah, it's sad. It's sad. It was really sad.
Yeah.
And I was excited to get married. Like I planned all this. I had the dress. I did. Like,
I was married at this time too.
Yeah. Megan had just gotten married. Like, well, 2 years prior.
Like Megan too. Yeah. It was 2016 when I got married.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 2 years prior, you had gotten married. Yeah. It was just kind of like, I don't know. It was kind of like the path for people in our family, I guess, or like maybe people in general.
Christians
in general.
For sure. I mean, definitely people in our family, like all my siblings and my parents also got married really young. I feel mm-hmm. like in general, like in Christian communities. And yeah, it was not now when I hear that someone, props to people, but when I hear someone is 22 and getting married, I'm like,
are you sure?
Yeah. But mm-hmm. when I was engaged getting married and when you were engaged, no one really was like, are you
mm-mm.
sure? It was like, that's a normal time to get married.
No, I think people are definitely getting married a lot later now.
Yeah.
Even just like then 10 years ago.
Well, we started the trend. I saw our failed.
You know, I like to think so. I like to think that I started the trend of like get engaged, but don't get married. Like,
yeah.
As many times as you can.
And people now will just wait till they're 30 to get married.
Yeah.
See what happened with me.
Yeah, so. Exactly. I'm still shooting for a couple more.
Does anyone else want to be Rachel's next fiance?
My next failed fiance? Maybe I'll keep the ring this time.
God. Okay. Okay, so you moved to Carlsbad.
I moved to Carlsbad. I'm a crazy manic person.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like very much isolated myself because I was holding on to all these secrets now, and this was a big one, my failed wedding. He and I were not officially together. He was not officially my boyfriend, but we were very much acting as such in a lot of ways. He was very like emotionally unavailable to me in a lot of ways and wasn't putting in a lot of effort, but we were still seeing each other regularly, going to dinner, like doing stuff. But he made it clear like he needed time.
It's just a situationship, and he gets the perks of having a girlfriend and having access to the emotional connection and sleeping with you and whatnot, but then also doesn't have to remain faithful and can just go around and date whoever he wants.
Yeah.
It was probably a prime setup for him.
It was a prime setup for him, except he was telling me he wasn't dating anybody else.
Of course.
That's the kicker of like we kind of established that we weren't going to be doing that. There was like some times where we were on dating apps and we both knew that the other was doing that, but he swore to me up and down that nothing ever progressed with Grace. Like, she went off to college and because she was 18 at the time.
When
all of that was going down. And so then she went off to college in the fall.
When he was 25,
turning 26.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I'm legal adult, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. In theory.
Yeah.
So a year goes by, and in my head, I'm like, okay, my timeline is, you know, we're going to be reengaged by next summer. And obviously that didn't happen. I'm finally, after a year of living in that chaotic limbo, I am ready for a change, and I kind of open myself up to it. The same day that I do, I meet somebody. It was my friend Taylor's husband's birthday, and his friend was in town from somewhere else. And he is interested in me, gets my number, and we start seeing each other. But before I even go on a date with him, do anything with him, I ask the wolf for permission. Mm-hmm. And he gives it to me. And so I do it. This person, we'll call him Jack. So Jack and I go on a date. We like end up hooking up days later. He comes back down for a concert with his brothers like a few weeks later, and then invites me to go up and visit him for the weekend. So I do. All the while, I'm asking the wolf for permission pretty much every step of the way.
He really had so much control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He really did. Mm-hmm. And I just communicate with courtesy too.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really loyal.
That was the expectation that you and the wolf had set, was that if we were with other people, like, you asked permission.
Mm-hmm.
He was not doing that.
No, he was not doing that, and I didn't know.
Yeah.
I just was like, oh, he's just taking time for himself. He's really working on himself. You know, he is so faithful and loyal to me. He's not doing anything with any other women. Like, it's just me. And I thought it was so romantic. So Jack starts dating somebody seriously and tells me, and so he and I are done after a couple months, and I knew it wasn't going to be anything serious anyway, so no harm, no foul. And at that point, the wolf was pretty, like, distraught at how kind of involved I had gotten with this other guy. And so when things ended with him, he was essentially stoked to kind of, like, then, you know, be with me. And so that's when things kind of started up a little bit more seriously with him and I again. And that's when COVID happened. So COVID happened, and during COVID, and
like 6 months into COVID, we started kind of reintegrating him into things with my family and friends. And he and I started kind of like traveling a bit more. And then I eventually started reintegrating into his family and things like that. And we were like fully back together. We were full-fledged mm-hmm. boyfriend and girlfriend, like together.
Like mid-2020?
Mid-2020. Yeah. We were like officially together again.
Yeah.
And that went on for a couple years. And to the point where people started wondering like, okay, why are they not engaged again? Yeah. I was wondering why we weren't getting engaged again. Like what was kind of the holdup?
Yeah.
I felt like we were the healthiest that we'd ever been. I felt like we had taken time apart and kind of worked on ourselves and come back together in like a healthy way. It really felt like a fresh start mm-hmm. with our families and friends. And we really like reintegrated with each other's circles in a way that we hadn't ever had before, which felt really healthy to me. And so then it was 2023. No, 2022.
When you get engaged again?
Yeah, 2022.
Yeah.
I planned a whole surprise birthday trip for him for his 30th birthday coming up in August. I planned it for 9 months. I started planning it in January. I flew out his friends.
Best freaking
I coordinated this whole camping trip, like his favorite place. It was like a bitch and a half to set up and
totally.
And get like it was on Catalina Island. I had to get everybody on the ferry. We had to pack food for the weekend, get all our gear hauled over to the other side of the island and get set up for the weekend.
When was the Hawaii birthday trip? The year before?
That must have been
because there was multiple like I feel like he was just dangling an engagement in front of you.
Oh no, Hawaii was like during that time that I was planning it.
It was like March or something.
Hawaii was so I for his birthday or his Christmas present, I bought him a trip to Kauai that we took in May over my birthday.
Yeah.
And then he also went on my family trip to Maui in June.
Just knowing what was going on.
Mm-hmm. It's
the time
really bad.
During these trips.
It's really bad.
But he was definitely dangling like a proposal for like you kept thinking like it's going to be December, like he said by the end of the year, he said by and like and so finally like it hadn't happened yet, but you still had been planning this giant 30th birthday party for
mm-hmm.
him.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely been talking about getting engaged and like he was kind of, you know, definitely dangling it like you said and like oh we're you know, we're not quite there but we're close and I just really want us to be in a good spot before I do this and I really want us to be like really healthy and really happy when we do this and when we do this again and blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, okay, prior trauma from us being engaged the first time, like I get it, whatever. That's kind of how I explained it away.
And you just kept thinking of like, how can I be a better girlfriend or how can I be how can I work on myself? Like, and it was just like
pretty much.
And oh my gosh, that's
the whole time. That's what I was doing. Yeah.
Because he just, yeah, we'll get to it.
It's like, yeah, it's really sad and kind of heartbreaking to look back on. Like I really, gosh. And if you just go through my journals, it's like, okay, I didn't. Like, I'm going to do this for him today and I'm going to, you know, not bring this up today and like all these mantras and all these things I'm thankful for and whatever, like all these things I'm working on. And like he got worse and I got better over those 5 years. Mm-hmm. Like those first 5 years were very just like juvenile kind of like virtual flirting, unhealthy relationship, unhealthy, you know, patterns. And the second 5 years, I really thought that like, I mean, I definitely worked on myself. I definitely grew as a human being. I thought that he had, but he actually got so much worse and like sinister, honestly. Like it's shocking how sinister. So yeah, so during this time, I'm planning this extravagant, like really sentimental 30th birthday for him. And in the meantime, I'm taking him to Hawaii twice. Mm-hmm. Once with my family and once just him and I. Yeah, thought he was going to propose the first time. He did not. His birthday trip comes around. We do it. All his friends come. It's great. And then next thing I know, kind of, I think, honestly, and I think he said this, because of that birthday trip and that like grand gesture, it kind of was this like catalyst for him to propose.
The Catalina catalyst.
The Catalina catalyst. You know, they always talk about the Catalina wine mixer, but don't sleep on the Catalina catalyst.
For didn't engagement. Know about the wine mixer, but
you've never seen Step Brothers?
No.
Oh no, we're outing you. We're outing you so hard to the world that you've never seen Step Brothers.
No.
Okay, fear not, audience. I will get her to watch this movie.
I probably wasn't allowed to watch it. When did that even come out?
The Catalina wine Step Brothers? Gosh, I don't know.
Get out the iPad.
Wait, now I'm doubting myself. It is.
It Are is you outing Catalina yourself wine. For watching a movie that it you is, shouldn't have when you were younger?
I'm pretty positive. Yeah, it's the Catalina. Yeah, the Catalina wine mixer Step Brother. Wow. Oh, you should see what I just typed on this iPad. It's really bad. Yeah. Okay. Thank God I wasn't wrong.
When did Step Brothers come out?
Okay.
Though?
Step Brothers came out. Okay. What's your guess?
2008.
You actually got it right.
It's 2008.
Yeah, it came out in 2008.
Okay, so I was in eighth grade, and yeah, I'm assuming is it a rated R movie?
Yeah.
Okay, so,
I mean, it's kind of appalling that
I know
since
I know.
Then as an adult who's been allowed to watch rated R movies for like.
Also, I did watch rated R movies when I wasn't supposed to, but for some reason, I've just never seen Step Brothers.
You're just outing yourself in so many ways now.
But I know like some of the memes from it. I know the Step Brothers lore. I just haven't seen
The Step Brothers lore.
We need to watch that movie.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Okay. Catalina wine mixer, Catalina catalyst. He proposes a second time at the spot where we had our first date. And
the Catalina catalyst leads him to proposing again.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Connecting it.
In November uh-huh. of 2022.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know at the time that it was like a very rushed kind of half-assed proposal.
Yeah.
It's a bit of but a shit show. You did.
Yeah. I mean, like, we'd all been waiting for it for a really long time at this point. And then all of a sudden it was like a Sunday and he's like, I'm proposing Friday. And we were all like, oh, okay. One of your best friends is out of town, so she couldn't even make it. Your mom last minute threw together like an engagement party, had a bunch of people over. She like got it catered. I ordered it. It was like almost too late to order a custom cake. Like, we were all just like, okay, it's happening now.
His mom didn't even know till the day of, I don't think.
Oh my gosh.
Like, she showed up and like was all excited. And then we were talking off to the side and she's like, I literally didn't know this was happening until hours before.
And then the actual setup of the blanket and the wine or whatever, mm-hmm. the little whole little romantic setup like your friend did. Mm-hmm. And he didn't even know
he didn't even do it.
She was going to go to those lengths.
Mm-mm.
But no. We all just were so happy for you. And we wanted this to happen so badly because we knew how much you wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
That I remember being genuinely happy for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like at that point, I was not like, I don't know. Like, I was like, okay, finally. Oh yeah. My gosh.
I mean, to me, it felt like this big redemptive thing. Like, look how, okay, we did the work. We took time apart. We got ourselves to a healthy spot. Like, look how far we've come. We've just really grown up together. And
you did it for the story.
I did it for the plot.
Wow. Yeah, you always love to do things for the plot, and you had the plot.
I love a redemptive arc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at this, he didn't deserve the redemption.
No, he never actually redeemed himself. He descended further into, uh-huh. like, horridness.
Horrid.
Okay, that was actually a good pun. Because he's a whore. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Okay, so rush proposal.
Yeah, there's this like whole engagement party. I'm crying. It's a fun night. Like, all, yeah, whatever. And then like
this
very
is when
quickly,
our stories kind of start to merge.
This is when, okay, yeah,
because my life started to fall apart a little bit around the time of your engagement.
That's what's so crazy.
Yeah.
Is like. The Catalina catalyst, like, talk
the
about a
Catalina catalyst.
No, like, talk about a catalyst.
It was the beginning of the end.
And the beginning of the end for both of us.
Was, yeah, around that time was when my marriage started.
Same week.
Fall apart. Same week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, talk about a catalyst.
Talk about a catalyst.
Yeah.
Yeah. we'll get to that.
Yeah.
We're going to take turns.
Mm-hmm.
So, pretty quickly start planning a second wedding.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
And this time it's going to be a little more low key. We're going to do it at a park. We're going to have the reception in my parents' backyard. You know, we're not too worried about the glitz and the glam this time. And I'm like, yeah, I'm 27 and you're 30 and, you know, we're older, we're wiser. We should be getting married now. There hasn't been any sort of hints of any infidelity or anything for years. For all intents and purposes, I thought that everything was good and fine and dandy. Planning this wedding, in January, we start looking at houses. I really had this goal that I wanted to buy a house sometime when I was 27, and I did hit that goal. My parents are in real estate and loans, so, and I'm super fortunate for that. They're like seriously the reason that we got this house. My mom was a rock star. I'm a negotiator, and this house that we got really like close to both of our parents just felt like this really divine thing. And we got this awesome 2-bedroom, 2.5-bath house with a loft and moved in, and it had a yard for my dog. And it just seemed like everything was falling into place and just felt, yeah, very redemptive. And so I pack up my stuff and I move out of my apartment in Carlsbad that I'd been in for 4 years. And on March 1st, 2023, we move into our house together and start our kind of like engaged lives. We were going to get married in July, at the end of July, July 28th. Mm-hmm. So we kind of had time to move in and settle and everything and continue planning our wedding. And little did I know that moving into that house was 100% the beginning of the end. And we are filming, like we're recording this podcast literally like
a year later. Yeah.
And by the time that we launch it in mid-April, it'll be exactly 1 year since I actually discovered the egregious amount of infidelity that had been going on for years, like a disgusting amount of infidelity. By the time that we launch this podcast, it'll have been exactly 1 year since that day. Thank you so much for listening to part one of my story. And please don't go anywhere because part two, I promise you, is much, much juicier. We're going to go into great detail about all the infidelity I uncovered last year and exactly how it all went down, including cheating on my bachelorette.
And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to everywhere you listen to podcasts. And follow us on Instagram and TikTok at the.traumedy.show.
Bye.